Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Durden Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
God bless the giver.
Got a lot still to get to on the show today. We'll have some more on the World Cup, don't you worry. We'll talk about it more. I will not be here Monday, so I will Monday night, Riders USA game, Monday evening, so I won't be here on the day of the match, but I'll be here Tuesday to talk about it if they do beat Belgium. Sprague will be back on Monday.
And Swag.
Swag is back on Monday?
Yeah.
Is he really?
On Tuesday.
Tuesday.
You're going to be back on Tuesday.
Oh, I'm going to be back. Got it. Okay.
And Sprague.
So he's finally back from
his family reunion. Will be back on Tuesday.
You get to sleep in again. Are you excited?
I'm so excited to sleep in tomorrow. forget Tuesday and through the rest of the summer.
It's like I made a comment.
To sleep in tomorrow.
Dude, I made a comment yesterday and said, you know, listeners like, "Oh, Dirt Talks sports for 4 hours." He's complaining. It's like I love my job, dude. I love doing this. I pinch myself every day that I get to do this for a living and they actually pay me to do it and they haven't fired me yet. I am blessed beyond imagination for that.
Amen.
Waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning blows.
No.
Every day. It's
being a zombie for the back half of the day.
Right. Especially when you got a 2-year old who is not currently sleeping through the
with
night.
Children on top of that.
Right.
So your wife's just staring you down like you better do something. You better get off that bed.
Exactly. You get that look in the middle of the night. Do you want to go take this one? And I'm like, it's 2 o'clock.
You.
I gotta wake up in like an hour. Can I? No. All right, fine. All right, now I'm up. All right. You get out of bed, toss the sheets over. Now I'm all flustered. I'm not going back to sleep. I love my job, but yeah, that is the thing. Like Sprague, I was giving Sprague a hard time yesterday because it was his Wednesday, Friday, and he thinks it's like a mentality of like you don't care about the show or you're checked out. That's not the case. It's more of the mental side for me of like, dude, when I get through this, then I don't have to go to bed at 8 o'clock tonight, and I'm gonna wake up whenever I wake up tomorrow.
Right.
That's the freeing feeling of a vacation. It's not that you mail something in. It's like, dude, I don't have to set an alarm clock tonight, and I can't tell you how happy that makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I am glad you only have a couple more early wake ups. One more, right? Monday will be the last one.
Monday will be the last one.
Knowing Swag, he'll be off for like
I'm
a
sure
week
Swag and, will know, find another day.
He'll
or two.
He'll go to like Pilots Media Day for a I'll month.
Need to
and,
exactly.
You know, he's gonna go move out to the Hillsborough Ballpark. We'll see him again in August. So we got a lot to get to in this hour. Hello, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are great. Hopefully you're not working today and you're getting ready for the 4th of July. If you are working today, let's get through it. And we'll all go get ready to blow some stuff up on Saturday. America's 250 years old. Let's start the second hour with this. Jaylen Brown got traded. We've been waiting for Jaylen Brown to get traded. We didn't know where Jaylen Brown was going to get traded to. And then we found out yesterday. Now, notable earlier in the day, because if you missed it on the show yesterday, I'd recommend go listening to the interview and also reading his article that he told us about. Jason Quick was on the show yesterday, and he gave us a lot of good nuggies about the Blazers and where they're going and their thought process and the way they're building the roster. He teased the Mike Anora thing of, Mike Anora flying out to talk to Ja Morant. And so I want to get into some tidbits on that. But he gave us some intel that the Portland Trailblazers were not even ever realistically involved in Jaylen Brown. Outside of maybe a cursory call, you know, an early call, here is what Jason Quick had to say about the Blazers not going in on Jaylen Brown.
From what I've been told, that they were never high on him, never never valued him as an asset to go for. And they asked for 4 first-rounders from Portland, and Portland's like, no, you know. So I don't think it ever got close with Jaylen Brown.
So never got close. He said that yesterday. So any mental thought people had of like, oh, are the Blazers going to still be in on this? That certainly ended it for me. And then you get the announcement later on in the day that Jaylen Brown was indeed traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. Was it for 4 first-round picks? No. No, it was not. Was it for 3 first-round picks? No. No, it was not. I just want to remind people for a brief moment. Desmond Bane was traded for 5 first-round picks last year. Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane's a good little player. He's buff and he can shoot threes. Like I got no issue with Desmond Bane as a basketball player. 5 first-round picks is absurd. It was absurd. Mm-hmm. And now when you look at this one, I think that's the hard part about judging all of these trades. So the final deal ended up being, here's what they're sending. Obviously, Paul George, playoff P, is going to Boston. Have fun with that. Will he take HGH again this year? And then the Sixers are sending Boston a 2028 first-round pick that could convert to a swap if it's more favorable for Boston. A 2031 unprotected first-round pick, a 2028 second-round pick, and a 2030 second-round pick. So they traded 2 ones, 2 twos, and Paul George for Jaylen Brown. And this will... we talked a lot about this when they went through the coaching search, because I want to get to the Boston side of this in a moment. The idea of letting Splitter go to Chicago was controversial for some, right? Like, a lot of people really thought he did a great job. I have a hard time kind of putting my thumb on the nose of, like, exactly how impactful of a coach he was. I give him credit for the things he deserves credit for. Some of the other stuff, I think schedule played a big part of it. We don't need to go through that whole thing again, but when the move was made to let Splitter walk and go hire Mike Anori, we all said this would become something that we kind of look back on, right? Like, if Chicago has a good year, they signed Norman Powell yesterday. We're going to look back on it, you know, in the middle of the season and be like, damn, look, Chicago's having a nice little year. Maybe Portland's struggling or their pieces don't work out. Like, did we make a mistake in that regard? That certainly will be a conversation that we assess throughout next basketball season. This will be one for me that is 10 times bigger, because if you want to tell me that trading for Jaylen Brown for 4 first-round picks, Donovan Kling, and after the Ja Morant trade, right, you're going to have to include Drew Holiday's salary just to get it done. Like that, yeah, all right, I get it. Maybe that's too rich for your blood, and I, you know, maybe I'm still willing to roll the dice on it, but I understand the argument of, like, that's way too much to give up for Jaylen Brown, especially when you already got Avdi on the wing and some of the fit stuff. Like, how does it all come together? Totally fair. If you're telling me you could have done Drew Holiday and 2 first-round picks and gotten this trade done, I have a hard time understanding, or 2 twos, like throw 2 twos in there too. I have a hard time seeing why you wouldn't want to pull the trigger on that trade. Jaylen Brown is a fascinating player, man. Like, we started the week on Monday with the kind of noise around him and the Bobby Marks comments that somebody said he would be the 7th best, you know, an analytics team said he'd be the 7th best player on a team. He's fighting back against that. This truly does feel like, and I think Bobby Marks ended up being 100% correct here, that is the perception of him around the NBA, is that when you look at the advanced metrics, he's not a plus net rating player, even though he averaged 29 points per game and was the finals MVP a couple of years ago and has been damn good his entire career. Like, his numbers are outstanding, but you look at metrics, you look at advanced analytics, you look at certain things, and they knock him down a peg or two. And the idea of him having this little value on the open market absolutely blew my mind. And I think we're going to look back on this trade throughout all of next season. And if Philly's rolling and Jaylen Brown is playing good, we are going to be kicking ourselves of saying, we have all of this draft capital. We have all of these picks to play with. All of the Milwaukee swaps, the Orlando pick in there. There's a Boston first-round pick in there. We got our own first-round picks. Like, this is as well-collected of a grouping of assets that we've ever had to go out and make a move. There's not a guarantee that every offseason there's going to be, A, a star available, and B, a star that's willing to play for your team. How many times have we gone through it where, hey, so-and-so is interested in a trade, yeah, but he's not going to play in Portland? Because that's usually how this stuff works out. We just went through it with Giannis. Like, we had the best package for Giannis. We wanted Giannis. What was Giannis not willing to do? He was not willing to sign the extension, so we're not going to go get him because, and I understand that. Like, that's too big of a roll of the dice. He leaves in 1 year. You don't win the championship. Like, man, that's a disaster. And then you're in a tough spot next offseason. But there's this idea of, like, yeah, just hold on to him. Wait till the deadline. Ah, wait till next year. Who's going to be available at the deadline? There will be somebody available, but do they want to play in Portland? Are they on an expiring contract? Are they going to be a free agent? Who's going to be available next offseason? We don't know the answer to that. What I know is that Jaylen Brown is a tremendous basketball player, and he's been a finals MVP and a conference finals MVP, and he just finished sixth in MVP voting. He unquestionably would have made your team better, and to only have him go for two first-round picks, maybe the analytics crowd is right here, and we look up halfway through the year and his numbers sink a little bit, and it's like, man, he's starting to regress. Wow, what a dodged bullet. Turns into Hedo Turkoglu 2.0. All right, if that ends up being the case, we'll say great move, Joe Cronin, for not going to get Jaylen Brown. But if he's cooking the next 2 to 3 years and he's playing basketball at a high level, I have a hard time seeing how this doesn't turn into one of those, like, man, we couldn't have matched that offer. We couldn't have, Drew Holiday and 2 ones and 2 twos, that would have gotten the deal done, because I think Drew Holiday and maybe they value Paul George more because they have White and they have Pritchard and they don't want another guard. But they also know Drew Holiday, and he helped them win a championship. And so I was shocked. What was your reaction when you saw 2 ones, 2 twos, and playoff P or podcast P for Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, I think obviously the components of the deal were staggering. One, I didn't realize Philly was in the mix to begin with.
No, I had, like, no idea. No, yeah.
I feel like nobody mentioned Philly at all as being a interested, let alone, you know, have a front running chance. I believe it was Shams yesterday or Wendy, one of the two, that were saying that they had been in talks with the Celtics for a good couple weeks.
And we never heard a whiff of it.
And we never heard a whiff of it.
Which is another thing about the national media discourse. You just gotta be careful of, like, people are taking shots, they're not always right shots.
Right. And so we come to yesterday, and I mean, it sounded like this was the last offer on the table. And so if you think about Portland, you're thinking, well, all we had to do was just keep nagging them about doing Drew Holiday and picks, and we probably would have had a chance. So yeah, I feel like that's a bit staggering, because you're talking about a guy that's a top four scorer in the league.
Yeah, he averaged almost 30 a game last year,
and he's got playoff experience and a champion, and you didn't want that here. So I mean, I'm sure they have a plan. I'm sure there is a plan that they see that us as fans obviously don't see. And it's just hard to fathom that we definitely had that kind of capital to send.
Easily to get it done.
Or more.
Right.
And we didn't want to offer that, let alone want the player. So I think it is a fascinating phenomenon of what is the perspective or the, you know, why is Jaylen Brown seen so less than us as fans see him?
It's a really confusing one. I think it's a big, like, we get this a lot in other sports. This happens a lot in baseball, right? When certain, like, numbers or metrics are valued more than others, and you can have a guy who's hitting, you know, 235, but there's, you know, his walk or his strikeout ratio or whatever the case, right? His, you know, his BABIP, what's his ball in play? Like, there's certain numbers you could look at and say he's more valuable than that, and then there's people who don't dive into those kind of numbers, and you just use your eyeballs and watch the game, and I'm like, he's a good basketball player. He averaged 29 points per game last year. To your point, it's top five in the league in scoring, shot 35% from three, averaged, rounding up, seven rebounds a game and five assists. Averaged 29, 7, and 5 a game. He's immediately your best player, I in my opinion. Now, you know, maybe you could sell me the youth of Denny, and he's a couple years younger than Brown, and he'll get to that point. But 29, 7, and 5 is pretty remarkable. It's MVP worthy of, at least in that conversation. And the break between the analytic crowd and the non-analytic crowd is very interesting here. And I'm with you. Like, again, if Quick saying that you called and said, hey, Jaylen Brown's available, what is it going to take to get him? And they say 4 first-round picks, then you're saying to yourself, that's too much. We don't want to unload all of our assets. That's fine. This becomes then the reaction to, if that was what he was eventually traded for, you say, all right, we can have that debate. Would you have been willing to give up 4 firsts, Drew, and whoever? Like, if that's truly what the package ended up looking like, that's a legitimate debate that we can have down the road. But when it's not the package and then you end up only going for 2-1s, like it feels like a massive missed opportunity for me, a massive missed opportunity. And I think on the other side of this, because I want to get back into the Blazers in a moment, the quick piece on Ja Morant was great, and I want to read some snippets from it, and we'll get to that in a moment. Outside of this being a big missed opportunity, just in the vacuum of this trade, I'm having a really hard time. Now, again, time will tell on all this, right? None of us have a crystal ball. I'm having a really hard time seeing what Boston's seeing here. I just don't. Yeah. I don't get it. The reporting on this, Sham said multiple times, I think Wendy said as well yesterday, he never once got to the point where he asked for a trade.
Right.
It never got to that point. Now, there's some bad blood. He's on Twitch saying weird stuff. Mm-hmm. You shopped him publicly for Giannis. Like, I get it. Like, that's stuff that can have some cracks and you know, friction inside that relationship. I get it. But if it never got to the point of him actually asking for a trade, when all this stuff kind of died down over the last 48 hours, I got to the point where I just thought, and I probably said it on the show yesterday, like, he's just going back to Boston. Mm-hmm. Like, let's see how this goes. And if you get to the All-Star or the trade deadline next year and it's like, dude, he's a headache in the locker room. He's yelling at Tatum. Like, whatever the case, like, he's on Twitch complaining about the coach every night. Yeah, dude, then you're going to force your hand and you're going to want to trade him at that point. But if this is all I'm getting for Jaylen Brown, I'm getting Paul George. Paul George? I had a buddy with a great point yesterday who texted. He was like, think about all the stuff Paul George has been traded for and all the trades that he's been involved with. And it is insane. Like, the things that he has set up with trades is remarkable.
Yes.
And that was where my mind went for Philly. Philly, to me, has a really good roster. Maxey is awesome as a young guard. We saw them against Boston in the first round come back from the deficit and win the series. Mm-hmm. Maxey is great. Edgecombe had a phenomenal rookie season. Embiid, you just can't rely on because he can't stay healthy. But when he is available and playing, he's still one of the best bigs in the league. And he showed that late in the year last year. And now I'm throwing Jaylen Brown in the mix. And so I had that same thought about Paul George of like, man, his trade set up this potential dynasty run in OKC with an MVP and all these draft picks that they've been capitalizing on. And like, look what he created in Oklahoma City with the trade. I had the same thought with Philadelphia yesterday of the East seems open. It seems like it's, you know, 2 years ago it was Indiana coming out of nowhere winning it, damn near winning the finals. Last year, when we're going into the playoffs, there were not that many people picking the New York Knicks to win the Eastern Conference. And they did. They steamrolled their way through. They won the championship. But to me, it just kind of shows health. You get hot at the right time. Like, it's open over there. There's not San Antonio and OKC standing as 1 and 2 in your way.
Right.
I think anybody will have a legitimate shot. And I'm not going to go Kendrick Perkins, like, hand him the championship now. That's just dumb because there's a long ways to go and injuries happen and it's a long season. And we don't know what the rest of the roster is going to look like. Do they go add more pieces? But in the short term, I just thought, man, you traded him to the team who just knocked you out of the playoffs, who's in your conference,
yes,
who's
in your
also
division.
In your division. Boston and Philly are like, that's a rivalry
that
out there
rivalry.
In the Northeast. They're close together. And that's where you traded him for a guy who's been unreliable in the postseason, has had a hard time staying healthy, and was suspended for 25 games last year. And if the Twitch and the podcasting stuff was a concern for Jaylen Brown, may I enter into the chat podcast P, who I think is more interested in being a podcaster than he is a basketball player at times in his career. That one, my head was spinning. I saw that yesterday. I'm like, okay, Philly, what was... And then you read through the package and just shocked that that's what it ended up being. If you had to buy a ticket on an Eastern Conference team right now for next year, would you buy a ticket on Philly?
Yes.
You would? Over everybody else in the East?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the tandem of Maxey and Brown, and you're praying for a healthy Embiid.
I think that's the thing now,
VJ,
though. Like,
that's a nasty powerful.
Right, and if Maxey stays healthy, Edgecombe takes another step, and Jaylen Brown has, I don't need him to have 29-7
and 5.
Yeah,
you don't need that anymore.
25-5 and 5, like, just be a good all-star caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
How many games does Embiid even have to play? Like, I'm
loading the amount he's been playing the last few couple years, yeah.
Dude, I'm playing him every other game for the whole season. Just keep him healthy. Wrap him on any sort of bump or bruise. Like, sit him down for a week. We just need you in April and May and June. Like, that's when you're going to need to be reliable. Like, I think they're going to be able to. They had a hard time at times doing that last year because Paul George was also suspended.
Right.
And so you get this great year for Maxey, a good rookie year for Edgecombe, and then George misses a quarter of the season and Embiid's in and out of the lineup. Now you've added Jaylen Brown in the mix. It's a confusing one for me. Do you think Portland is going to regret not getting more aggressive on Jaylen Brown? 503-864-6326. I'm shocked that's all he got traded for, and we definitely could have matched that package. Also on the other side, Quick told us about it yesterday. Some great snippets from Mike Inouye's sit down with John Morant. What a Quick write about. We'll give you some of the quotes and things that were said. That is next, 105.1 FM The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Everybody's very level-headed and calm about the Blazers not getting Jaylen Brown, as you can imagine. Basketball coverage on The Fan presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Also, by the way, happy early play day for College Football 27. Anybody who celebrates, it's going to be this afternoon.
Ew.
Nap time.
Nice.
Can't wait. Jaylen Brown is a Philadelphia 76er. The Blazers did not jump into the mix. I wanted to read a couple thoughts on the Blazers side of this and then get into the Jason Quick, John Morant piece, which was really good. And again, if you missed the interview with Quick yesterday, he kind of teased that this piece was coming out, and I was eager to read it, and it came out shortly after I think the show was over. One thought that came in at the Fan text line, we probably get an answer saying they value Denny's development more than they value Jaylen Brown's impact. And that's a fair argument. I totally see the merit behind that. I'm not going to shoot that down. Denny was great last year. He took a massive step. It was the second half of the season previous to that, his first year in Portland. And we wondered, can he do this for a full season? And he did it for a full season. And he took on a bigger share of the offense and the usage rate. Like, so I totally see that. I think the frustration is not necessarily just a Jaylen Brown thing. And again, the offseason's not done, so we don't know where they're going to go. Maybe there's another move in the works, although some of that is hinted at in the Quick piece, and I don't know how anticipate. I'm not sitting around on pins and needles waiting for, you know, a massive trade using multiple draft picks to go get somebody big. They certainly still have to do things. The roster is not full, so their offseason is not done. But the idea of there being a big move, there just has been this perpetual kicking of the can down the road, and every time you kick the can, there's a valid argument or two, right? Like, we can't trade. You know, they wanted 3 first-round picks for OG Anunoby. Is he worth that? Like, I don't know, but you got to give up stuff to go get stuff. Like, that's a part of making trades, is that there's got to be some risk on your side. And there seems to be, and I think that was one of the most hopeful things I had when Dundon took over, was that maybe some of that mindset would go away. Of just this like hesitancy to take a big risk, to take a big swing, and like, oh, what if it doesn't work out? What if we use up all of our first round picks? And I would turn around and say, like, to the idea of previous trades, like some of the first round picks we wouldn't trade or refuse to because it was too rich were Scoot and Shaedon Sharpe. And now one's going into year 4, one's going into year 5. How do we feel about Scoot and Shaedon Sharpe right now? They're expendable for the majority of fans, right? You might be higher on Scoot, you might be higher on Shea, and feel like, you know, this, you know, maybe they can turn into something still. But like in terms of the ceiling of what they can be, we kind of know what it is at this point. When you're going into your 4th and 5th year in the NBA, not saying you are what you are, but the idea of you turning into a star or a bona fide guy or a max contract kind of guy, that to me is out the window for both those guys. And so that's what you hope you're getting with first round picks. You didn't get it. And now we look back and we're like, well, if we move Scoot and Shea, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. There seems to be a risk averse nature to this team. And again, you can pinpoint whatever, you know, well, it's the Denny's development. We don't want to get in the way of that. Like, all right. Also, how about we adjust and adapt? How is Ja Morant handling the ball going to affect Denny's development? How is Damian Lillard coming back going to affect Denny's development? A big part of the reason Denny had the numbers he had last year was because he was all we had. Everybody else got hurt.
Exactly.
Dame couldn't play. Drew was in and out of the lineup. Like, we had to lean on Caleb Love to win us basketball games last year. Like, dude, yeah, Denny's going to get the ball 99% of the time. That's already not going to happen next year. Ja Morant is a high-usage rate player. Damian Lillard, we're all just assuming he can play out the ball. That's not a guarantee. I hope that he can, and I think he's the best suited to do it on the team because of his ability to shoot. But he's also a guy who likes to have the ball in his hands to be impactful. And so if there's this fear of Denny's development, and that's the reason you're not trading for Jaylen Brown, I would just push back on, like, man, I think we already have two things that might impact Denny's development. And guess what? It's on Denny to evolve as a player. Learn how to be better without the ball in your hands. Learn how to be better defensively. If your usage rate goes down on offense, do we see a higher impact on the other end of the floor? Like, evolve as a player and develop as a player and find other ways to impact the game. And so I just simply don't have those fears. Again, this will all age either great or terribly for Portland. And we could look back a year from now and say, man, the Blazers went and got this star player. I am so glad they held on to their assets. That turned out wonderful. Jaylen Brown only averaged 19 points per game, and Philly got bounced in the second round of the playoffs. Way to go, Joe Cronin. But there's also the world where it goes the opposite way. It reminds me a little bit of the conversation we had last year after the draft about Jung Hansen. Like, that felt like you're putting your nuts on the table, and that's who you took. Now, ironically, the guy who was in charge of our draft process and got suspended for the drafting of Jung Hansen then left to go be the GM of another team. Thanks for that one, Mike Schmitz. But we said, like, hey, if he ends up playing great, we'll eat our crow and we'll have to say what a brilliant move by the Blazers to draft him. 1 year in, you just had to sign another center because he's not ready to play backup center minutes in the NBA in his second year, and he's like 22 years old. He's not a 19-year-old kid. He can drink alcohol now. So all of this stuff will age either good or bad. I have a hard time with their inability to just take a swing at any moment. And I know what the conversation will be. Well, wait till the deadline. Wait till next offseason. And I just hope we're not right back in the same spot a year from now doing the exact, hey, you know who's available. We got all these picks. Are we going to do it? And then we dangle this carrot in front of the fan base for like 3 months of content, and then nothing ends up happening. It's the same offseason. I think you are a better basketball team now than you were at the end of the season, because I think the upside of what you can get out of Ja Morant is better than Jeremy Grant. Like, I have no issue with that. We already talked about that trade. But this did feel like an offseason going into it where you were going to, like, all right, Dundon's here. We got assets. We got draft capital. Woo, let's go make a swing. And if all you end up with is Kelly Oubre and Ja Morant, it will be frustrating, and especially when you consider in this article. So Morant sits down with Mike Anori. Jason Quick profiles it. It's a great piece on The Athletic. I think if you go look at his Twitter account, he made it free. So if you don't have a membership, you can go read it. A lot of the stuff in here I love. What I don't love is some of the tidbits of, it feels like from the quotes from Mike Anori, like, this is, they genuinely are going to carry four point guards. And he insinuated that on the show yesterday. But there is a vibe of, like, yeah, dude, we can make this work. Maybe it's an insurance because some guys haven't been available. We don't know how healthy Dame's going to be. Drew's been in and out of the lineup. And Ja Morant, we have talked about at length how he's only played like 75 games in 3 years. So that maybe is part of it. But they're going to carry four point guards into the season next year. Five total guards if you count Shaedon Sharpe, it seems like, as of now. And that to me is a mistake, because there's not so many minutes to go around. You're going to get frustrated players. And I do think some of your guys have value to go flip them for pieces that fill out the roster in a better way, that you can improve things around him. But some of the tidbits in here that were really encouraging, if you're looking for the good news as a Blazer fan, maybe you're totally out on Ja Morant. It doesn't matter what he says. But some of this stuff, man, like, again, he's got to go prove it. You can talk the talk, but you got to go walk the walk. The first quote from Mike Anori in this story is, quote, I think we're getting the best version of Ja. I think we are getting a motivated Ja. So he goes in. Nori remembers Morant saying, some things happen for a reason. And he knows that everything he does in Portland will be viewed under a microscope and all the attention that he will be getting. He said, quote, the way he was talking, the way he looked, the intent he had, you could just tell in his face that he's missed basketball. He assured us that we were getting the best Ja and that he was going to do all of the right things. Our lunch basically confirmed everything that I had heard from people who had worked with him daily, who would talk about him as a person, the people I trust, who would tell me the truth. And I told him the background I have on him, and that they had nothing but great things to say about him, not only as a player, but as a person and a teammate. All of his teammates love him. And I told him the Blazers don't need you to do anything special. We just need you to be the best version of yourself. And they went through this. He said, you know, throughout lunch, we didn't talk about playing time. We didn't talk about rotations. He didn't ask me to start. All he was talking about was how he had the most fun playing basketball those first couple of years in Memphis. When they were in the playoffs, he kept talking about how excited he was to have the opportunity to win basketball games and not have to play for ping pong balls. And so if you're looking for the positive spin in all this, now again, this is talk. It's the offseason. It's July. Are we going to get this version of Ja come December and January? If you're on a 10-game losing streak, or, you know, you aren't in the closing lineup because Drew Holiday's better than you defensively, like, is that the job we're going to get all year? Nobody knows, and we don't have the answer to that question. But we talked to Gary Parrish earlier in the week, and he had a sentiment of he hasn't really done a lot to show contrition for what he did. There hasn't been a lot of accountability, I guess, from Ja Morant's side, and that has left some in Memphis frustrated that there wasn't a bigger step of, like, let me step out, take the, you know, heat, and then acknowledge it and try and put some of this stuff to bed. We still don't necessarily have that. Like, there's not apologies in here about some of his behaviors and some of his actions or some of the stuff he did to former coaches. But I think just the idea of him understanding how important this opportunity is, the opportunity to win, and a fresh start and getting the best version of him, like, that's where I will acknowledge. Like, I do think the roster is better now than it was in the last day of the regular season because you've re-signed Rob Will, and I would rather have Ja Morant on my team than Jerami Grant. I just would, because the upside's there and he's 26, and let's see what we got here. Maybe it ends up being a really good move for Portland and he gets back to where he was 4 years ago. But if you want to get there, you got to get the mentality right. And again, it's July, but at least it was encouraging to read that he's understanding of the opportunity and hopeful that this is going to be, like, the best version of Ja Morant going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you said. It's hard for me to think that Ja hasn't been waiting for this opportunity for the last two, three
right?
years.
Like, eager, like, for a
kinda,
fresh
we
start.
We all kind of knew that his time in Memphis was ending and that he was going to get a opportunity to kind of rewrite his script, you know, kind of rewrite who he is as a person, as a player, kind of change his reputation here. So I agree, and I believe that that's the mindset he's coming into this with. Now, again, it's July. We'll see what happens and when training camp starts and when we get the season rolling. But as of now, I kind of like where his mindset is. And I like that Mike Anori is on board with him and they're kind of on the same page, because that's especially with his relationships with his coaches in the past. It's nice to see that relationship starting on the right foot.
Yes.
And so it's only a matter of time. But I do like where this is going. And I think he'll be motivated. I think he'll want to prove people wrong, prove the naysayers wrong. And if he goes about that on the court rather than off the court, I think the potential is greater than I think a lot of people are seeing.
Yeah, man. Like this is the thing about Ja. I we talked obviously a lot about it in the aftermath of the trade. We were all shocked. It was like nobody saw it coming, right? And again, another great example is, you know, don't take too much stock in what the media is saying, because who had Jaylen Brown in Philadelphia, right? Like, that they had been talking for weeks and I didn't hear that report one time. Where was Shams on that one? Bobby Marks was back on TV yesterday saying, I think Portland's involved. I'm like, stop doing this to me, Bobby.
Right.
Please stop doing this to me,
yeah.
Man. We just had QuickCon. He said he's not coming here. All right. Don't get my hopes up. But when you go look at Josh, so the start of his year, now I'd have to go back and look, because I think he was a little banged up, but then also they were tanking last year, and so part of it was like he got nicked up, and they're like, nah, we're not going to play him.
Right.
Because we're trying to lose. It was a bit of a Giannis situation in Milwaukee. Like, I'm available. He got off to a horrendous start. Like, his start of the season was not very good. And then he had a stretch in there where it was like, it was solid. Like, he kind of found his groove. Not every night was perfect, but when you look at his last, let's see, what would this be? 10-ish games, give or take, before his last game he played of the season was January 21st last year. I mean, he averaged in the month of December 22 points, 7 assists, shot 42% from 3, 50% from the floor. He only played 3 games in January before it was all shut down. He averaged 21 points, 12 assists. He had double-digit assists in all 3 games, shot 36% from 3, 45% from the floor, and he was playing, you know, 26, 27 minutes a night. So, I mean, his first month of the year, he shot 15% from three. And it's like, that's a big part of the reason it was as low as it was last year. And he's not going to be a reliable shooter. That's not my argument. The argument is just simply like there was a good sample. Like it was at least a good stretch of basketball in there for him last year at one point. And that, I think, is what you're hopeful for. So, again, it's not the idea of being anti-Ja trade. I've been on board with that the entire time. I want to read a couple more thoughts on this because everybody's hot and bothered at Joe Cronin. And I certainly understand it, man. Seeing what Jaylen Brown went for and the idea of will there ever be a swing? Well, this feels like Neil Olshey 2.0 to a certain extent of like, we tried. Hey, we were in the mix. Hey, well, you know, we offered two first-round picks. They wanted three. Well, yeah, maybe if that's what it takes to go get them, that's what you got to do. A little bit more on this on the NBA. We'll talk to Tyson Aldridge coming up top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Hopefully your 4th of July weekend's off to a good start. We still got a lot to get to on the show today.
Not trying to be a chotch.
No chotches today. Tyson Aldridge's going to join us coming up top of the hour. We'll have some fun with him. We got the Magic Hat at 9 o'clock. Excited about that. Is anybody going to throw Taylor Swift's wedding into the Magic Hat? Huh? You want to talk about that today?
Also one of my Magic Hats.
Is it one of your Magic Hats?
Just checking them all
Dude,
off.
I'm glad you're putting that, because I didn't have that in mind, and I keep seeing stuff about it, and we need to talk about that. So
the
I'm
fact
glad.
That was a breaking news notification on my phone from ESPN was just like,
what did they say on ESPN?
Oh, it was just like, I think a law official or a police officer gave him insight that the wedding was going to be on tomorrow in MSG. I'm just like, what are we doing? I think it's because I'm on my dad's account and he's a Chiefs fan, so maybe that's how that
rolled in
there.
Notification.
But still, I'm just like, come on, man.
Ballsy move. The notification thing is a topic in of its own right. Like, I need to cancel. I try my best anytime I do something. I turn all all social media notifications are off. If people come, I used to get those like on our show page. People would send us tweets to the show page, and I'd get like notifications on my phone. It wouldn't stop, and I'm like, I got to get rid of these things because they drive me nuts, mm-hmm. and it always makes you pick up your phone and go look at it, and then you put it back down. But there's some that I haven't stopped yet. Like OfferUp, I still get daily notifications from OfferUp. Yeah. They do not like stop it, dude. Stop. I don't want a PlayStation 4 and a comfy couch. I'm okay. You've sent me the same notification for like a year, and I've just been too lazy to cancel it. So I desperately need to do that. The ESPN one's funny. Couple of thoughts. Let's read through some of this. Everybody's feeling great. The Blazers did not get Jaylen Brown, and according to Jason Quick, they never really even tried. I mean, they made an initial call. It sounds like the Celtics said, "How about 4 first round picks?" They said, "Nope," and that seems to be the extent of it. Now, to Bob's point on the YouTube chat, and this is totally fair, in these conversations, maybe Portland was still involved, and maybe they just valued a wing more than they valued a guard. And it, like, in that regard, if I'm trading for, you know, if I'm Boston making this move, I would much rather have Paul George than Jeremy Grant. There's not a debate there. I know Paul George has been a punching bag for a while, but I would much rather have him. So maybe that was the case, right? And you offered him Drew Holiday, and they said no. Or maybe I think that's the difficult part about all of this is trying to react to it, is exactly what was offered and how deep the conversations got. How involved were you actually? Nobody's ever going to know that, because maybe we offered 3 first-round picks and Drew Holiday, and they said no, we want a wing. And we didn't have the wing that they wanted because Jeremy Grant kind of sucks. And they said, we'll take Paul George instead. And they were able to get that done in Philly because they wanted Paul George. Like, I don't know what they're evaluating and what they're actually wanting. I have a hard time seeing why you would want Paul George that bad for Jaylen Brown from the outside looking in. And if draft capital truly was the most important thing to you, to go flip that for something else, seems like there could have been some more noise there. You know, a lot of thoughts coming in on Cronin. People comparing him to Olshay, kind of doing the same Olshay again thing over and over again. How many offseason trade deadlines do we need to see it? Joe's not going to make another meaningful move. Another one, it's always wait till next deadline. I certainly understand that. And so there's just a balance here of, again, incomplete picture. We got to wait and see what the rest of the roster looks like and who they end up filling everything else out with. An idea of disappointment, excitement for John Morant and to see what he looks like and does he return to the version of himself. There will be a microscope on you next season from an NBA landscape. Like, when you traded for Ja, the coverage from a national perspective was more coverage than the Blazers have had since Dame was traded. Like, yeah. Has anything come close to that in terms of a national conversation? I think most in the national media forgot we had a franchise over the last 4 years. We tanked, traded away our best player, and then tanked again. Like, no, we were out of sight, out of mind. We were literally irrelevant amongst the national media around the NBA, and we largely will fall to the background. I grant you that. And it was covered everywhere. The John Morant trade, so you're like, you're going to have eyeballs on it. You're going to have attention. There will be excitement. I guarantee you there will be a highlight early in the season that anybody saying they're out or John Morant sucks. Like, the second he has a 30-point game and he dunks on somebody in the paint, all of you will be like, we got excited about Mario Hezonja. People trying to act like we won't buy fully into this 1 week into the season when we start 3-0 and he has a 30-burger early on. Like, get out of here, dude. We know who we are as Blazer fans. We know how we'll react to that. But just, yeah, there's just a general frustration and a question of Joe Cronin's ability to make the big move that is necessary to make. And this is where things get challenging, because we talked about this on the Philly side earlier. There's an open nature to the Eastern Conference. And somebody's saying, how dare you, you know, discount the Knicks? They swept the Sixers. You're not wrong. I'm not trying to discount the Knicks. We just have seen from 8 straight years now, it's really hard to win back-to-back championships. And that's the way we usually look at the NFL. Like, forever, you didn't have a back-to-back Super Bowl champ from New England in the early 2000s all the way to Kansas City doing it a couple of years ago. Like, that's the it took a long time in order to get there. And so I think the NBA is somewhat in that category now. Like, I don't think the Knicks are going to add a ton to their roster. They've lost some players. You had to play an extra however many months. Like, it just, you lose a little bit of that hunger. You're fat and happy on your championship parade. Like, it's just hard. It's hard to go do it. So it's not about necessarily discounting the Knicks, but there's an open nature to the East that if our roster was over in the Eastern Conference, like, again, who's the favorite in the East right now? Maybe for you it is New York. Maybe it's Jaylen. Maybe it's Philly now that they got Jaylen Brown. Maybe it's, you know, maybe you think Detroit again if they go get a piece that they need. But we don't even know if they're going to get Durham back. We haven't seen the outcome of that. So there's an open nature to it that would leave me more hopeful. That does not exist in the Western Conference right now. And that's the difficult part of, like, do you have the horses in order to make actual noise, or are you just going to be a very, you know, a fun little season, exciting team? You get some nice highlights because Shaedon Sharpe's maybe the best athlete in the NBA and John Morant's a walking highlight. But what does it ultimately equal? A 6 seed in the playoffs and losing in the first round? Like, that to me is not a step. That's not progress. And so you could see individual progress from players, but it doesn't seem like you're truly pushing the ball forward. And so after coming out of a generation of seeing Neil Olshay do that to Damian Lillard, to see Cronin now have another opportunity with a chunk of assets to likely, now again, we don't know fully yet, but likely not go move them, it feels like more of the same, and we're just going to sit around and wait for draft picks to convey, and we hope we get some cheap contracts because those are very valuable in the NBA and the new luxury tax system, and that would just suck because they're a long ways down the road, and I think a lot of Blazer fans are really tired of just constantly doing the kick down the road and hoping next, well, if we get internal, if Shaedon Sharpe pops this year, like, we've done that for 4 years now. Shaedon Sharpe is what he is. A good little player. 20 points per game is nothing to, you know, sneeze at. But He is what he is at this point in his career. And so I certainly understand the frustration from people. And now we get to wait and see what's going to happen with Boston. What's going to happen with Philly next year? And does Jaylen Brown end up making a lot of teams look really stupid? A fascinating analytics versus non-analytics debate of what is more important, just being good at basketball and winning and putting up numbers, or your advanced metric and your net rating? What's more important? It's just fascinating one to follow in the time to come. A few other NBA moves happened yesterday. I don't know how noteworthy all of them are. Tobias Harris going to San Antonio was a pretty big deal. Did you see that one? That was, a good little player. He had a good run in Detroit.
That's a good role player for that team, kind of getting people around Wemby. I think that's another good asset for them for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he was a 2 years, $31 million is what he signed in San Antonio. So, I mean, he's been an interesting guy for a while because his last contract was so big that he never really – he's a good player, but he didn't feel like he lived up to the value of it.
Right.
It's one of those, like, tough – you want him, but not at that number kind of situations. So San Antonio needed another vet, a lot of young guys on that roster.
Yeah.
He's a guy that can knock – he's a 3-and-D guy. He can knock down some shots. I don't know what his – let me see what his three percentage was last year.
He had some games in the playoffs that –
dude, he was huge, like, for them in the playoffs.
Which probably got him – that kind of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged, 13-5 is not a ton. He's up there, but he's 6'8". He's got some length to him. He averaged, he has 37% three-point shooter. Like, that's solid.
Yeah.
37% for his career as well. So those are good numbers. So that, I liked that move for San Antonio. I will say the other thing I thought about yesterday was, did the Jaylen Brown move throw Philadelphia into the mix for LeBron James on a minimum contract?
Yeah, that's kind of the next topic now is...
How would you not look at that if you're LeBron and say, that's pretty attractive right there?
Mm-hmm.
Great backcourt, up-and-coming guy. Jaylen Brown is a proven winner. Embiid is, we know how good he can be when available. San Antonio's not going to go after him, it sounds like, because of the Harris move. That's it's similar positions and all that. You're not going to go at another cook in the kitchen.
Right.
But Philly, man, you could have a starting lineup of Maxey, Edgecombe, Brown, LeBron, and Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron legitimately kind of, any given night, you would just need him to be the fourth or fifth best player on the floor.
Right.
On your team. Like, that's scary. That was the thought that I had. Philly makes a lot of sense there, man.
Sure.
A lot of sense. So we'll wait and see where the rest of the offseason goes. Free agency, I'm sure, will kick up. We'll see if the Blazers do anything over the weekend. Sprague and Brandon will be here on a Monday if we get any other moves. And obviously, if anything happens the rest of the show, we'll let you know. I know everybody's... Some people are satisfied. Some people are frustrated. Some people are happy. Some people are upset. You're never, it's a bit of a wide canvas right now, or a wide spectrum, I should say. And we'll see how the rest of the offseason goes to have a final judgment on it, because there's still some open roster spots. Frustrating, though, to again feel like, a lot of bridesmaids moments over the years for Portland. Hey, we're involved with this guy. Hey, Well, they tried to get him. They tried really hard to get him. Well, I'm glad we're trying to get them. I'd like to actually get one at one point. Because being the bridesmaid sucks time and time and time and time and time again. Been a lot of that over the last handful of years. Lots to get to in the third hour of the show. I will talk a little bit Oregon recruiting. They had some good news on the recruiting trail yesterday. We'll kind of take a look at where the classes on the West Coast are stacking up. Oregon climbing up the charts now into the top five. Washington got a big commitment yesterday as well. So we'll talk a little college about recruiting in the third hour of the show. We'll get back into the World Cup. We got to do that. Some big games coming up this weekend. We'll revisit some of the audio from earlier in the show. Let's start, though, with our buddy Tyson Alger. I think he's up in Anacortes waiting to get on a ferry. He was like, I think this reception will be good. So this will be fun. We'll try this out. But he was at Savannah Bananas over the weekend. I want to ask him about that. He was at the USA game in Seattle when they played Australia, so we'll talk to him about those and probably a little Oregon football. That's a loaded third hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.